All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers Christmas special. Merry Christmas, Brandon, to you and yours. How are you doing today?
Merry Christmas to you and yours too, Rob. Merry Christmas to everybody listening. You know, it's not quite Christmas yet. It's not quite Christmas Eve yet, but it's Christmas Eve Eve.
Yes, it's happy Festivus.
Yes, it is.
Do you want to start with that, actually? Do you want to air some football grievances? Any football, before we get into this horrible game, which was a grievance in itself on a Monday night, is there any football grievances you would like to air? We did referees yesterday. Do you have anything more?
Yeah, this is the second year we've done this, so for the past 2 years now, we've aired enough grievances on this show every week. Honestly, it's the same things that we always talk about. And the thing is, it's getting worse. We always talk about the referees. We always talk about, you know, certain plays, certain bonehead mistakes, certain coaching mistakes. You know, I don't think there really is anything. Because, I mean, if we continue to beat a dead horse, you know, it's like, I don't think we can really, you know, harp on it any more than we already have. So
let's beat up some ham then, because let's talk about the Saints. Here's the thing. So we're going to have around, what, 9 coaching jobs maybe? How many coaching jobs are we going to have by Black Monday?
I mean, you got to think. Are we counting ones like potentially, or are we just counting ones like for sure?
Yes. Potential, yeah. Let's just go potential here. We have no clue what kind of stupidity is going to happen. Let's just say potential.
All right. So potential. You got what? Saints, Giants, Jets. You've got Patriots. I don't think so, but Patriots are still potential.
Patriots are still potential if they blow a gasket, but they haven't so far. Raiders.
Raiders. I mean, it really should be the Cowboys, but Jerry Jones loves Mike McCarthy, so that's not going to happen.
He loves his hot dog. Oh my God! Speaking of that, this is actually just because of the word "hot" and not hot tub related. I've created a new nickname for a guy in our league.
Oh God!
Michael Penix is hot dog man. hot dog man, baby.
Jaguars. Jags, I just remember Jaguars.
Probably should, yeah.
How many jobs that already?
I don't know.
7?
That's 7. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and there's probably still a couple more that we're not thinking of right now. Bears.
Bears, yeah.
So
it's going to be like 8 or 9. Yeah.
It's probably as high as double digits, probably close to 10 or 11 even.
It's going to be crazy. And we don't even have that many good candidates, I think, to fill those jobs, to be frank.
We don't.
Even in the college ranks. Can I propose to GMs and owners everywhere? And this is not on Rizzi at all, because, look, Rizzi's a special teams coordinator. He got put into the job. This is not on him at all. I'm not going to hammer a guy that gets hamstrung into a job like this. Like, that's completely unfair to do that. But for a lot of these really bad coaches, and this is something we talked about, obviously, very heavily with the Bears and Matt Eberflus, can these GMs and owners ask situational questions in interviews? Are they just ignoring? Because I get it, like, with the interviews, a lot of it is, what culture do you bring, what playbooks do you have, what schemes do you want to run? I would like to add in, and Brandon, I think you would appreciate this as well, I would like to add in some situational based questions, some very basic, like, do you call a timeout in this situation, do you know the play clock in this situation? Because I think that, to me, is the central problem with bad coaches this year. And owners and GMs that are going to hire these guys in the next coming months here, they need to ask these questions. And it could be something incredibly simple, but they genuinely need to ask this, right? Like, I'm not crazy.
No, you're 100% right. And I mean, I've harped on, we both of us have talked about it ad nauseum the entire season, with just dumb coaching decisions in games that we know how to correct them before it even happens. We're already thinking one or two plays ahead. A lot of these coaches aren't, and everybody's like, oh, well, you know, it's the heat of the situation, but it's still, if we can see a play or two ahead and our heartbeats are racing, like watching our teams play, but we can still think of two ahead. It's like, these coaches should be able to do it. No, you're paid millions of dollars to do it. So it's, you know, that's, they should ask questions like that. Cause I'm tired of hearing the same thing. Like, oh, like, you know, what's your offensive scheme going to look like? What's your defensive scheme going to look like? You know, what's, culture. You know, how are you going to address, you know,
what's your culture? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like those are basic things. But the thing is, in order to get it to know truly what you're getting out of a coach and a coaching staff, is their situational awareness. Because you could have the most perfect game plan in the world, but if you don't have situational awareness, it won't matter. Like, you could play a perfect game. Your quarterback could be, you know, 75% completion percentage, having a great game, 3 touchdowns, and your offense, you know, is like you could be like a Ben Johnson calling all these different plays that work and all this different stuff. But if you have that one last drive in the game and you're not aware of the play clock and it runs out, or you take a bad delay of game, it's not going to matter. Then all that stuff you just did isn't going to matter.
All those questions I asked you earlier are not going to matter, because what are you doing in the fourth quarter when the game matters? And again, I want to emphasize, I'm not harping on Rizzi here, because, dude, he got put into this job on his own whim. I'm not expecting him to understand these things. That would be completely unfair. I'm just talking about guys like Matt Eberflus that we've talked about, who have these jobs full time. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about here. And I think that's what's, again, that's kind of what I want to emphasize, is this is not on Rizzi. Because I can't expect him to do that. The guy was a special teams coach and just got thrown into this job. But if you're going to be a full-time NFL coach, you got to know what the hell you're doing on the sideline. You really got to know what the hell you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at all the coaching mistakes. And I don't think Brian Daboll's a coaching mistake in with the Giants. But, like, look at all the coaching mistakes the Giants have made since Tom Coughlin. They've had a bunch of different guys. They've had Ben McAdoo, awful. They've had Pat Shurmur, awful. They've had what's his? I mean, now you're getting to, like, you know, I could list more. They're just not coming to my head right now. They've had so many guys that haven't, you know, panned out, or just haven't been the right fit, or just don't make the right decisions. So, yeah, but that goes for a lot of teams. The Bears have been like that. The Raiders have been like that.
The Jets, another team in the same damn stadium as the Giants we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, there's been so many. Oh yeah, remember Joe Judge? Joe Judge, that was awful. It doesn't make sense. But notice how all the bits, it's not so much the good teams. It's the bad teams that just keep making just bad mistakes in picking head coaches. And like we said before, your head coach defines the kind of team that you are. It defines your culture, and it sets the groundwork for what you want to do as a team. So, you know, when you have guys that, you know, pretty much are just not the right fit, or don't make the right choices, you're going to find yourself really in harm's way. And it's happening too often. And the crazy thing is like, you look at a lot of these teams, this is why we keep saying it. You have to ask those questions about everything, not just the basic X's and O's. You've got to go deeper. It has to go to a deeper level. You have to test this guy's intelligence, because if you don't, you're never going to get the full scope of what you're going to get. Or it might look good on paper, on the surface, but you've got to go beyond that to understand. Like I'm saying, you could have a Ben Johnson. Your offense could score, you know, 40 points, but it won't matter if that. Like, you have to also ask the head coach, because a lot of head coaches also make this mistake. You could also be a good head coach with good awareness, but a head coach is also involved in making coordinator decisions. So, you got to ask him, what kind of coordinator are you looking for with this on both sides of the ball?
Who are you bringing in? Who are your coordinators? Who are you planning to bring in? Who are you planning to interview? Right? Like, yeah, because who the hell are you grabbing?
Yeah, because you can't sit there and just ask the head coach. And a lot of this is like where all a lot of teams make that mistake. You can't just ask the head coach about himself, because your head coach is responsible for literally an entire roster of players, starters and backups, an entire coaching staff, which is a lot more people than people realize. You know, people always think, oh, it's just the head coach, the coordinators, you know, maybe a strength and conditioning coach. No, there's like 20 coaches on the staff altogether. And that goes from all the way from the top to the bottom. So, you know, it is a whole big ordeal when you are a struggling team and you need to find a perfect head coach to get you back on track to start a true rebuild. So, you know, I guarantee you, like, the Patriots didn't ask that question of Jerod Mayo. I guarantee you the Raiders didn't ask that question of Antonio Pierce. I guarantee you Chicago didn't ask Matt Eberflus what you know, and clearly they didn't ask him about situational awareness because we saw what happened this year. So, you know, it's one thing, like, especially like with games, like how many times do me and you or Will and shit, how many times do we sit and watch a lot of these games and we're like, use the timeout here, or why are you going for it here and not here, or why are you making this decision for no reason here?
We did a full 30 minutes on this, no, hell, an hour on Black Friday on this exact thing, you and I. This exact thing. Yeah. It shouldn't be a 40-minute conversation. It should be taken care of in the damn interview.
Yeah. And it's crazy how every year we have a handful of coaches at the minimum that get fired, but it's mostly because a lot of them, it's not just because of their, a lot of them, you know, 90% of it is their just their bad, is their bad kind of the installation of their offenses and defenses. But a lot of it is also just, and people don't realize that other 10% is really important, because that's, you know, like we're saying, 90% of a game, you can be perfect. You can play the most perfect football, but that last 10% of that game, those last, you know, couple minutes, few minutes, the last half of that fourth quarter, it's the decisions you make then that keep you from being, you know, a four and 13 team, or an 8-9 team, or a Super Bowl contending team. That's the difference.
Yep.
So, you know, it's important. I really think that these front offices, because it's not just the owner that's involved with these things. It's the GM, it's the owner, it's really the whole front office. You have to sit there and really think. Like, these guys, a lot of these guys make snap decisions, you know, and they don't really know what they're buying. Like, you know, it's like a lot of, I look at coaching hires in the NFL as like an impulse buy.
It's an impulse buy that cost you 5 years and something of like upwards of $40 million.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a costly impulse buy. You know, you're like, it's like, that's like willingly putting yourself into debt to buy a brand new truck. Like, you know, just because it looks shiny and new and has all the bells and whistles doesn't mean it's necessarily going to run well. And it's the same thing with a head coach. Just because the coach, you know, is, you know, especially with a lot of newer, like a lot of younger, on the younger side, a lot of these younger head coaches, you really have to know what you're buying, because these guys haven't had that experience. Like, guys with experience, you kind of know what you're buying into. There's a track record behind them. You know more about them. But with younger coaches, you got to really sit there and analyze and evaluate what you have. Because if you don't know what you have, you shouldn't be buying into it until you can kind of gather everything you can about this coach and what they do. Because if you don't do that, you know, you might not have the success you think you're going to have. So it's really important that these front offices make decisions for their franchise that are going to be beneficial long term.
Do you remember Matt Rule, who is now at Nebraska? Do you remember his contract with the Carolina Panthers?
I don't, but I know it was bad.
In 2020, right? So this was in first week of 2020. Matt Rule's contract with the Panthers was 7 years, $62 million, with an annual base salary of $8.5
million. Ouch.
So there you go. So that's what we're saying. You're paying a bunch of money for these guys. You better be confident in what you're doing. Or else you're screwed. Yeah.
It's why I'm looking at, like, I look at guys right now, like, I'm looking at, like Sean Payton. And I'm like, we're looking at, like, he's really turned the team around, especially with Bo Nix now. But here's the problem. What do we talk about? You know, second half of games, not good play calling, not really aware. This is a guy who's a veteran head coach. This is a guy who's won a Super Bowl, for God's sake. And it doesn't just, it, you know, you have to kind of evaluate, you have to ask him, you know, because these are things. The Broncos have lost a lot of games because of their second half play and their fourth quarter, just their, how unaware they are, really, in certain situations. And then because their play calling shows you how unaware they are. So, you know, the Broncos, like I said, that, you know, they have a good record. They're basically they should make the playoffs. But the problem is, you could be so much better. This team could be still contending for the division. They should have won two or three more games than what they have because of bad coaching mistakes and bad decisions, bad play calling. So, you, like, this is why we're saying you got to make sure you know what you're really buying into. Listen, you're not gonna stop mistakes from happening 10 times out of 10. It's always gonna be a, you know, a time or two where it's gonna happen. But the times that it shouldn't happen, like, it's the ones that, like, the bad, like, you can excuse a bad moment or two. But when it becomes a habitual thing because you didn't do the background research on this coach, or, you know, like, Matt Eberflus kept making the same mistake year after year after year after year. And it was like, when are we going to just say screw it and just start over? So it was like, it's, or with Doug Peterson, you know, now it's been trending downhill for a while now. It's taken a little bit too long, but it's like, it's just, you got to really understand the difference between winning and losing. It starts with your head coach. Well, it really starts with your front office and your GM, but
because that, it starts guess what? That's where the interview process starts. The front office. We can't excuse front offices for making poor decisions with picking their coaches. We simply just can't excuse it.
No, and it shouldn't be excused, because when you look at the incompetent, when you look at the poor play of a team, everybody says, like, I hate when people, and I've seen this a lot on social media, because once again, it's from a lot of people that don't really watch the game as closely as we do. They're like, oh, well, the coach is on a, you know, like, you know, the coach is on a bad team, but the players still have to produce. Here's the thing. If that coach has good players, then I can see that as an excuse.
Wait. This reminds me, this is going to transition us perfectly, right? You're talking about the players and the coaches, right? Matt Eberflus has the youngest team in the NFL, and they look like a Super Bowl contender right now. This team's young as hell, and look at what they're doing. It's a perfect example, Brandon. You can jump on that, because they're the perfect example of it.
Who'd you say? I think you said Matt Eberflus by mistake.
No. Matt. I did say Matt Eberflus by mistake. That dude is infecting my mind. God damn it. Matt LaFleur, dude. Matt LaFleur in the Packers.
Oh yeah. They've got a top five defense. They've got an offense that can steamroll people. Josh Jacobs has been phenomenal this year. Jordan Love, you know, struggled early on, but he's found his groove.
This team is young as hell. And they're still playing incredible football. And like you said, this is why coaching matters. LaFleur has a culture that is spectacular. And this team, you know, we talked about, and even Will and Shane were talking about in the chat, right? We're talking about the Lions and the Eagles in the NFC. Well, guess who's going to put a wrench in that? The Green Bay Packers. And it starts with LaFleur.
Yeah. And it does. And then the thing is, like, I look at, like, you know, I don't like I was saying, you know, before we, let me backtrack a little bit, that, you know, like, I don't like when people have said, oh, it's not the coach's fault, it's on the players to produce. But if the coach doesn't have the players to produce, then it's not really on the players. It's on the coaching staff in the front office for not making better decisions, and also for not being smart enough to make better decisions. So which is a problem, which is also a culture problem, which was what we're leaning towards here. But
yeah, this is what, you know, what you're getting towards is this is what the Packers are doing right with their young core.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, look they showed a graphic tonight. All their draft picks for their receiving core, their entire receiving core, none of them are first rounders. It's all second through fifth. And they've hit on all of them. Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Tucker Kraft. Like, the list goes on. So, you know, they might not be the most. Here's the thing. Those guys are not superstars, but here's the thing. They are good young players that understand their role on a good football team with a good culture. That's what they are. And the thing is, this is why we keep saying, you don't need a bunch of superstars to win a title. You need the culture and the coaching and the players to buy into that to make it work. So, you know, when you don't have that, or when you're missing just any one of those pieces, you could kind of bypass it and win some games and look good on the surface. But just like I said, when these front offices aren't digging deep beneath the surface on the coaching staff, on the coaches, especially on the head coach, it's the same thing with the actual product on the field. Like, why we keep saying, oh, well, last year, like, you know, like when I was saying it, when the Eagles were 10-1, everybody's like, oh, they're 10-1. I'm like, but they're not a good football team. And I'm going to tell you why. So, you know, and a lot of teams go through this every year. The same thing we kept saying this with the Falcons before the season started. We kept buying into the hype. And I'm like, okay, they've got a lot of talent, but they don't have the coaching and they don't have, like, the front office is okay, but the problem is that front office is making bad coaching choices for that team. And then the coaches themselves are inept at their job. So you have to have a front office that knows what they're doing, and then to evaluate the coaches that know what they're doing, so that way the players on the field know what they're doing. So, you know, we keep saying, you know, like, one player or whatever it is, or one moment, you know, in a game, like, this is why I hate defining, you know, teams by just everybody's like, oh, this player is solely responsible for why this team hasn't won more games this year. It's like, that's not true. It's a lot deeper than that if you pay attention. It is a flaw in the organization, because that player had to be traded for, drafted, you know, one of those things to get to this point, to come here. They had to be traded here or drafted here. Like, you know, we talk about, oh, Quentin Johnson is costing the Chargers games because he can't catch the ball. Partially is that's his fault. He's got to catch the ball. Yes. But that is on the Chargers front office. They drafted him.
That's on Brandon Staley, because Brandon Staley couldn't develop him for crap.
Yeah, and that's that. And then once again, it's a front office and coaching thing, because player development is so important. And that kind of goes back to not just the coaching staff part, but the culture, what you're instilling in these young players from an early age to grow them into a, at least if not a star, at least a very good player that can step up for your team. So it's important that, you know, you're not going to hit on every player, but the thing is, you're responsible for the players that you bring in and how you use them. So it's,
and by the way, why have the Giants been so bad for so many years? How many first or second round picks can they just simply not develop, particularly in the offensive line?
Yep. And you know, I'm happy that people have finally realized, because it's just the thing like, oh, you're going to miss me when I'm gone kind of thing with Daniel Jones. They don't miss him, but here's the thing. They regret being so harsh on him. And listen, we talked about, you know, we made fun of Daniel Jones, but it's like, I made fun of Daniel Jones because I'm an Eagles fan. It is what it is. But deep down, it's not his fault that he got drafted sixth overall. It's not his fault the Giants reached for him. It's not his fault they didn't develop him at all. That's, none of that is his fault. His play and what he can control, yeah, that's his fault. You know, he still needs to make the plays. But I hate when people say, like, you know, like, he was a reach. The biggest blame for that whole thing is the Giants front office that drafted him at that time. They are the biggest ones at fault. But here's the problem. The ownership, the front office of the Giants, is terrible. So everybody keeps saying, oh, like, I've seen Giants fans saying, oh, I want Cam Mortar, I want Shedeur Sanders. I'm like, just because they have talent, it doesn't mean a damn thing. Because if you can't develop it, it will not work. You can draft a quarterback. You can say, hey, we got Malik Nabers. You know, we got a young quarterback, a young running back, and Tyrone Tracy. We got all these different, you know, we're growing something here, whatever. But that doesn't matter if you don't develop the player more than what he already is. Because coming out of college, you can't just come out of college and be a star with no help. Every stud that comes out of college, regardless of how good they are, how great they are, needs help. Tim Tebow was seen as one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all the time. What happened when he got to the NFL? It didn't work out. I mean, yes, he won a playoff game. Yes, he had the miracle runs, miracle fourth quarters. But nobody developed him. They didn't even try. So, and then it fell apart. It completely fell apart, and he didn't last very long. So, I Ryan Leaf, another example. You know, Carson Palmer, another example. Like, Carson Palmer started a decent career, but not what he should have been. You know, like, look at Reggie Bush going to the Saints when the Saints were in a real, kind of down period. They were still a playoff team, but they didn't really develop him, outside. Because before him, it was guys like Deuce McAllister. It was guys like that had, talent, but they got the most out of them. But once Reggie Bush got there, it's like Reggie Bush kind of, they knew they were getting a kind of a personality in him a little bit, didn't try to develop him. It's like, that's a problem. So, it becomes a real bad look when you just keep making the same mistakes, the same front office decisions, the same kind of coaching staff, being kind of lazy and dropping the ball on player development. It's like, the way your organization is run, like, it's like saying, like, when someone says, if you show me a messy room, it's like, you can kind of see how that person really lives, how they live their whole life, like a messy, because like a messy room could be one thing, but if you have a messy room in your house, it shows you how messy your life really is. I've seen it. So it's kind of the same thing with a football team. When you show me how messy your organization is at the top, it shows me how shitty you're going to be at the bottom when the players get on the field. So it really matters. It really does. And right now the Packers are on a little bit of a roll. And the thing is they look really, really good right now, because they are starting to hit the button at the right time, but they have good player development. They've gotten the most out of what they've had, and they have good coaching, all around that team to help these players grow into, if not great, if not Hall of Famers, deep competitors, good competitors that can win football games for any team.
A fantastic unit, right? We're talking about the Packers as this, and that's the thing, right? When you think about these three teams, right, in the NFC, let's be real, right? We've been talking about this in the chat with Shane and Will. The Packers deserve to be in this upper echelon at this point, right? And with the Lions and the Eagles. And the big word that kind of keeps sitting with me is what LaFleur and this coaching staff has done with this group, particularly now as we hit December, is the maturity of this group. This team is really mature. It's like talking to your grandmother on Christmas, and she's like, "Oh, you're so mature for your age." That's the damn Packers. This team can win the Super Bowl, having the youngest roster in the entire league, and it's time for us to believe it at this point. There's no excuse for us not to believe it.
And we're talking about the big three in the NFC. It's like there's a reason I hesitate to throw the Vikings in there, because the Vikings. Sam Darnold's having a great season, but I don't trust Sam Darnold more than Jordan Love, Jared Goff, and Jalen Hurts. I don't. And at the same time, not only do I not trust him, but I don't like they've had a lot of ups and downs this year, but their downs have been really bad. The thing is they've just played worse teams than what they've played, and they've barely, come out of games alive. But it's but the Lions, great operationally. The Eagles, for the most part, great operationally. There's a couple of things I hate. But still, that is a team that knows how to get the job done when they really absolutely have to have it. Packers, same thing. Great operationally. It's like, how many teams in the NFL can you really say that about? Like, they come this time of year, every year. It's like, We always, it seems like, I mean, outside of the Lions, you know, historically, like just historically, looking at a lot of the teams that you can say great operationally and just being a consistent playoff and even championship caliber team, it's like you look at, and you know, people laugh, but you can't laugh about it because it's true. For my entire lifetime, you know, my team, the Philadelphia Eagles, have been up there. You know, the Bills are there, the Chiefs are there, the Packers are there. You know, it's the Ravens, they still get there. They might not be great, but they still get there.
Steelers.
The Steelers still find a way to get there. Yeah, like it's a lot of those teams that understand what it takes to be a cut above the rest. And everybody keeps saying, like, oh, you know, we're sick of this team, we're sick of that team. It's like, here's the thing. Usually the people that are saying that they're sick of a certain team winning is because their team can't do it. And, you know, it's, you know, like people don't realize how hard it is to win in a professional sport. So when you see a lot of teams at the top right now in this part of the season that have 12, 13, 14 wins, and you're looking at those teams and it's like, damn, these teams again. It's like, yeah, these teams again, because these teams can sustain success because they have a culture behind them. They have the players behind them that can buy in. They have a certain mindset. Even if the coaching isn't even the best, they can still, you know, the coaching is still serviceable. It's not the worst coaching in the NFL. So, like, you know, like I give a lot of crap to Nick Sirianni, but Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio are there the identity of the Philadelphia Eagles, not Nick Sirianni. But it's, you have a lot of teams like that where, you know, it's, you have to see how these teams operate. And the thing is, we've seen it now for years. You got to see how these teams manage themselves and how they go about their work every week, every day in practice even, and see the difference between a well-run organization and a poorly run one. And that's why a lot of these teams, every single year, they keep coming up in the conversation, the Packers, the Eagles, the Lions, you know, the Vikings now, you know, the Bills, the Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, like those are every single year, those are the teams that people circle, those 7-8 teams, because everybody and their mother knows those are the teams that 9 times out of 10 will be there every single year. And because they figure it out, because they are good from top to bottom.
I want to throw in another team that doesn't do this well, the Cowboys. How are you happy after winning a game that you already eliminated before you came into it? Oh, Jesus. This brings us, so we talked about the Packers and where they are, right? The culture and everything. This brings us to let's give people a Christmas treat, right? This is something I see a lot on YouTube. A bunch of people have done this for years. But, you know, let's do it here in honor of, you know, of the holidays. Let's give a Christmas gift to every NFL team. Now, you can combine teams if you want, but, and this will help us also preview the next week and the Christmas games, all these different things. But let's go through every team and give out some gifts. Let's do it. And again, you can do multiple teams. So let's go in order by division here. Buffalo, what gift do you want to give them?
Ooh.
I want to give them a Christmas card that just says, "Run the ball, you idiots." because genuinely, that's why they almost lost yesterday. That's literally why they always lose.
We really thought that they would, you know, figure out this time of year, because they were doing it a lot especially in the middle part of the season. They were running the ball a lot more than they were last year, and I was like, oh, this is great. And all of a sudden, it seems like they've pulled back from it now because Josh Allen is having to be Superman again. It's like, okay, but they're also not playing. He's also, if you look at the teams that they've dominated too, they're not good defenses. And they're not good teams as a whole. Like, the Rams are good, but their defense is not good. So Josh Allen shredded them. I mean, he's still lost, but shredded them. Like, okay, that's nice. But here's the thing. Josh Allen, we've said this before, you cannot let him play hero ball in the playoffs. It's not going to work.
And that's what he did yesterday, and it was exhausting.
Yeah, and the thing is, he almost cost me a fantasy, but thank God, because you know what actually won me fantasy? Because what he lacked in his game, the Falcons defense, I picked them up because they're playing the Giants yesterday. I started them, and they got me 25 fantasy points.
Well, guess what? Our defense guy on Sports Ethos picked up the proper defense. What a surprise. That's good.
Yep.
Miami Dolphins, what gift are you giving? Do you agree with the Buffalo gift? Just give them a card that just says run the ball.
I'd even give him just a football and then just write like a football, but have a note attached to it. Give to James Cook.
Just give this to James Cook. Miami Dolphins. What gift are you giving the Dolphins?
Can I give Tua the gift of vision? Like
gift of vision? What?
Because some of the throws that he's made a lot of bad hospital passes this year. And the thing is, I just feel bad. Like, I don't know. Like Miami is so weird because Tua's had some really high highs since coming back and some extremely low lows for his career. Like, it's been really roller coaster since he's come back. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like, what can you really give the Miami Dolphins? I mean, they don't. Oh, you know what?
Giving Tua a new head just seems kind of horrible. So I don't want to do that. I'll let YouTubers do that. yeah. You know what? I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give Mike McDonald Jack and Coke, and say that the NFL can allow him to drink Jack and Coke on the sideline. There we go. For these next two.
Well, actually,
giving Tua a new head just sounds awful and stupid. I don't want to do that. Like people, that would be so obvious and stupid and jokey. I'm like, I don't want to joke about concussions like that. Concussions are a real damn issue in this league.
Like I've looked at it. Actually, if I could think about it, I would. Oh my God! I mean, you know, people always say like, the government controls the weather. Like, honestly, if I could, I would give the Dolphins the ability to control the weather because they can't play in all weather.
You know what I would give them? I would give them Jared Butler's character in Geostorm so he can be up there in space and control the weather.
I mean, but it's I think if I had to really give them like a gift that actually makes sense and like an actual one that you can actually give somebody, I would give them heating pads, hand warmers,
you know,
warmer
what?
Clothes.
You know what? Here's the perfect thing I can actually give, because honestly, I would give this to the entire league, because obviously with Tua, I'm thinking about concussions. Give them more sturdy guardian caps that they actually want to wear. Because honestly, all the concussions in this league just suck, and we need to do a better job of it. Like, I just hate it, man. I just hate that concussions are still just such a huge problem in this league. Like, yeah, I know the helmet designs have been so much better, but like I don't want to make jokes about concussions. I just want it to get better, bro. Like, I just don't like it. I just it seems to get worse.
That's the only thing about concussions, though, that's tough for me, is because, like, I agree we kind of have to figure out a different way, but how much more can we push until this game becomes flag football? Because it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's football.
You know? My whole thing is, do we really trust the NFL to put out studies that say, oh, concussions are down this year? Do we really trust that? Like, we don't, because we see it. Like, because that's when I think of Tua and like the concussion thing, and yeah, people can make jokes on that, but it just makes me sad, bro. It's not even jokey at this point. It's just sad. Like, I just wanted to improve.
I mean, not for nothing, I did see my own quarterback play half a game concussed early in the season. He did finish a game concussed.
Ugh, yes.
So I did see that.
How about the neurotrauma consultants actually do their job better?
Yeah, like, they saw it yesterday, and thank God they did, but I remember, I forget, who the hell were we playing?
It was week three, right? I noticed this happened in other games, too.
I can't remember, but I remember that they basically said, oh, Jalen Hurts is clear to come back, and he came back, and after, like, being out for, like, a play or two, and he finished the whole game. And then, it was the home game against against Washington. Because I remember he said to Scott Van Pelt after the game.
And he was talking to him. You know what's funny? I remember that because, yeah, they both happened against Washington. I remember after the game, or like Monday morning, he got put straight into concussion protocol. I was like, what the hell? Like, it's...
Yeah, and he cleared it fast because, I mean, it was a mild one, which is why I think he'll play this weekend against Dallas because I think the concussion's mild again. But
still,
it's like,
man, we need a better concussion protocol system. We keep saying this every year. Like, we have improved it as a league. They have improved it. But, like, bro, this is a problem. This is a real issue that needs to get fixed more and more. And whenever I talk about the Dolphins and Tua, I just think, man, this needs to be improved. It's not where it needs to be, and it sucks. Jets and Giants. I'm going to combine them. New stadium and new ownership.
Lump of coal.
Not a lump of coal. No, a new stadium and a new owner. And I'll add another thing for the Jets. Every Madden game in the history of Madden and video game consoles, I want to go into Woody Johnson's house and break all of them. That's your Christmas present. Stop playing Madden. Please, for the love of God, man. Leave Madden to the professionals. Us.
Yeah.
Not your damn teenagers.
Yeah. I always think about the Jets and Giants, and how many times have I said I want to bulldoze that? I live 15 minutes from the stadium. I want to bulldoze that trash heap every day I drive past it. Like, that damn thing is such a disgrace to this state.
I want to give a gift to your area and build a new stadium and have it open for the Club World Cup final. Done. Let's do that. Jesus.
If there's anything I could give them. Oh, actually, I know what else I can give them. And the new stadium makes sense. New stadium, what else did you say?
New stadium, new owner, and for the Jets specifically, every copy of Madden and every video game console that Woody Johnson has in his house, I want to toss it and break it.
Just works.
Leave Madden to the professionals. Please, not your damn teenagers. Yes, I'm complaining about teenagers on an NFL podcast. Yes, I am, because not trading for Jerry Jeudy because of his Madden rating is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. New England Patriots, what do you want to give them?
They got their quarterback. Their running game's okay, but it's not great. Their corner, I mean, Christian Gonzalez is getting along nicely. I mean, not having a great season, but I mean, this is really his true first season because last year he didn't play. It's tough because their defense really isn't as bad as people think it is. Just that they don't have an offense that can keep up. Drake May's maybe a slightly new offensive line.
How about this? Let me see if you agree with this. A four-quarter clock management coach. A better one. Because, God. Your clock management in every quarter. Because, God, it's awful for the Patriots. It's so bad.
Weren't they? They were up like 14-7 yesterday at one point.
My thing is, when you watch Red Zone, like you watch these teams every week, right? And with the Patriots, Gerard Mayo should not be a head coach. You can watch one Patriots possession and know that. But for me, it's like the clock management is just so frustratingly bad, and nobody talks about it. Everyone talks about the Bears because the Bears are on national TV. Patriots are barely on national TV. They are on Saturday, but if you watch Red Zone and you watch them on a consistent basis. By the way, if you haven't done that this year, you should, because Drake May is really fun. So at least you get a chance to watch that on Saturday. He's just a fun player. So that makes the Patriots worth watching for me, bare minimum. But their clock management might even be worse than the Bears this year. Just nobody talks. It's that bad, dude. It's terrible.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't watched enough of them. Like, I've seen certain games, obviously, to know, like, yeah, it's not great, but I didn't know it was that bad. It's, Jesus.
No, it's horrible, Brandon. Like, it's bad. Like, it's probably is worse. And that's saying something, because the Bears have had these colossal failures with Clock Mansion. That's a huge reason the Patriots are as bad as they are. So, yep.
Yeah, and because I don't want to say new head coach, obviously, because they just bought into Gerard Mayo.
They're not going to do it.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Pittsburgh Steelers. I would like to personally escort Arthur Smith to the airport.
Yep. Actually, that works. Yeah, actually, wait, no, I'll buy it. No, that's perfect. That's a perfect Christmas gift. Give him a plane ticket.
Give him a plane ticket. I know that Russell Wilson loves him. I don't know why he insists on talking to him more than Sierra, but okay. He needs to get out of there. Baltimore Ravens.
And that's... I mean, I don't want to say it. I mean,
secondary depth? I guess.
I know Zay Flowers is nice, but they need better receivers because they still can't catch.
Yeah, I like Rashad Bateman, but that's kind of it.
He's not healthy, though.
Yeah, he's barely
healthy. He's never healthy. We don't have to be the same on that one. I think you can say secondary depth. I'll say wide receivers. Give them new wide receivers.
I would like to give the Cincinnati Bengals. I would like to give the Cincinnati Bengals a new GM, and I would like that GM to be James Gunn. Thank you. Superman, he's Batman. You know what? I'm promoting James Gunn from CEO of DC Studios to the general manager of the Cincinnati Bengals. Because even though he probably follows a good amount of football, he would be a better GM than what's going on in Cincinnati. So there you go. James Gunn. James Gunn.
If it was up to me, I would literally give an apology card, a sympathy card to Joe Burrow, Chase Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. Those four.
Well, T. Higgins because will not be a Bengal next year, so.
Yeah, he still deserves an apology. So he still deserves an apology for how they've managed his situation, Ja'Marr Chase too. Joe Burrow not giving him like a defense to actually sustain them. Yeah, but honestly for me, yeah, I mean I agree with what you said. I'm just gonna keep it simple. Just give him a new defense. Entirely new defense. That defense, I mean, outside of Trey Hendrickson, that defense sucks.
Yeah.
So
I'm just giving him James Gunn. I'm sticking with the DC theme. James Gunn, you're promoted to the GM of the Cincinnati Bengals. You can do a better job at managing money. Him and Peter Safran can go team up there. So there we go. Cleveland Browns. A way to just eliminate the Deshaun Watson contract without eating their cap. There you go.
I would love to think of that, but the problem is, too, what's stopping them from making another awful decision? So you know what? That's where I'm going to say new GM. Because as long as you have a GM in place that is going to be the one to give a contract out like that, what's going to stop him? What's going to stop? Was it Jimmy Haslam, I think is his name?
Yeah, the Haslams, you know, baby.
Yeah, what's going to stop him from giving another bad contract like that? So new GM for me.
Houston Texans. This entire division is very hard because this division just sucks.
Yeah. God, with the Texans. I mean, they two of their three starting wide receivers are out for the season.
Can you even imagine? Because I'm so scared for Tank Dell. Can you even imagine having a torn ACL and your kneecap is dislocated? Can you imagine? Just, oh my god.
Yeah, it's bad. That's so bad. I mean, I don't want to say give CJ Stroud receivers because Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell are good receivers. It's just that they got hurt. Oh, man. But, I mean, he's only got Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz now to throw to.
And Deontay Johnson, they just grabbed him today.
Nah, he ain't going to make a difference. I don't think he will. My God, if he can quit on the Ravens, he'll quit on the Texans too. I don't know. The Texans are tough because, I mean, oh, you know what? Maybe because they have dealt with a lot of injuries this year. I'll say a new strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, that's fine. Can we give that to the Niners too?
Yeah, I think that's a double up. Yeah, there we go. Or just give Kyle Shanahan the gift of wisdom to stop overusing his players.
Sure.
Running them into the ground.
We'll go with that gift of wisdom for the Niners. The Colts, can I give Anthony Richardson a card that says stop throwing the ball deep and run and throw short passes, you dingus? Like, is that fair?
No, I think that's fair. I know I'm going to give Anthony Richardson. I'm going to give him some apple turnovers. I'm going to gift him some apple turnovers for Christmas. because that's all he seems to be doing and not getting better. I mean, and we thought the benching was going to help him. It hasn't. I mean, at least not on the field. You know, maybe from a PR standpoint it has, but not on the field it hasn't. I'm apple turnovers it's pretty straightforward. Just to symbolize his the fact that he literally out of all quarterbacks that qualify, not just out of all starting quarterbacks, out of all quarterbacks that qualify, he has the worst completion percentage.
What is
of
that?
All of them?
What is that? 200 of them? 160? I don't know.
Out of all the ones I've started this year, I think he's got like 48%.
Yeah, it's awful. Something terrible. I'll let you take the lead with the Jaguars, because I mean, Doug Peterson, you've lived it, you know it, but what are you giving Jacksonville?
It's sad, but you know what? That's kind of a combo. I'm doing for them what should be done for the Giants and Jets. They need a new front office and head coach.
You know what I'm actually going to give the Jags?
What?
A plane ticket to London. Go play at Wembley. Every week. I'm so done.
Banish them.
Plane tickets.
Because honestly, it's just... You can't. I want to still believe in Doug Peterson, but it's over. On the way out in Philly, he was awful. That final year. I thought maybe it was just an aberration that it was just a slight little misstep,
That's kind of the right word. I'll be honest. The front office thing got me thinking. Shad Khan came into the season and said this is the best Jags team he ever constructed. Pretty much. They're 3-12.
Yeah, so that's why I was saying a whole new front office and head coach, because they need it.
Yeah. Tennessee, I would like to remove all the mayo from your entire organization. I'll go into your cafeteria and I'll take all the mayo off. Get Will Levis out of here. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I don't know why they didn't give Malik Willis a shot over him, to be frank. I think Malik Willis is actually a way better quarterback.
They wouldn't have developed him. The Packers did.
The Packers developed him into a solid backup. He's pretty damn good.
Yep.
For a backup quarterback.
Yep. I guarantee that he stays as a Packers backup for many years to come.
Oh yeah. Do you agree with me with the Titans though? Just take the mayo out, all of it.
Yeah, my gift is an XFL contract to Will Levis.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think he can be a backup somewhere, but yeah, it's rough.
Oh, I don't even know if he can be a backup. I don't know, because he's right there with like Anthony Richardson right now for just like completion percentage being crap, just decision making being crap.
You know what? Here's a gift we missed. How about we give the Tennessee Titans every single meme Will Levis has produced for all 18 weeks?
give him a collage. Meme collage.
A meme-a-lage. There you go. The Chiefs, more magic, please. Yes, I'm going to give them more magic, not less.
This stuff is crazy. Don't do that to us. No, we don't want to. No, don't do that.
I'm not giving them black magic. I'm giving them fairy tale magic. I'm giving them wicked fairy tale magic. I'm giving them real magic. That's what I'm giving them under the Christmas tree. What about you?
Oh, man. Honestly, because we make fun of their black magic, hell, I'll gift them an upside down cross.
Oh, Jesus.
I know it's Christmas, but man, if there was ever a team that represents the face of black magic in football, it is the Kansas City Chiefs.
I honestly love social media and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's so ridiculous, but it's so funny. Chargers, what are we giving our hometown team for this podcast?
Oh, boy. I think...
A plane ticket back to San Diego so they can actually have fans done.
Yeah, that's about right. Because I mean, they're having a good season, but they're not going to win anything while they're in LA. I mean, they didn't win anything in San Diego, but they were better in San Diego. So yeah, that makes sense. I was going to say at first I was like, that should be easy. Justin Herbert should get receivers, but he's got Lad McConkey. The thing is, he needs more. So I would gift him another shiny toy to play with.
I would give him Keenan Allen because he's expressed interest in coming back this offseason.
Oh, God. Yeah, can he stay healthy?
I don't know. Denver.
Gift of better play calling. Done.
Done. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I'm giving Sean Payne a new whiteboard. Start over.
a new playbook. Las Vegas Raiders, I am gifting you the number one overall pick. Draft Shedeur Sanders, make my life.
Yep, I can't even argue with that. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, just give him the number one overall pick. Let him draft Shedeur, which is what they want to do anyway. At least Mark Davis does and Tom Brady does. Let's just give him it and see what happens. You get the floor with your entire division. I'm not even going to comment on this. You get to do every team, Brandon. Starting with your Philadelphia Eagles.
The gift of Stick'em, because two drop passes are the reason that we're not the first seed in the NFC.
The gift of legal Stick'em.
Yeah, Stick'em, glue, whatever the hell you want to use. Yeah, because two drop passes are literally the reasons that we're not number one in the NFC. I mean, listen, that happens in a season. They're still Super Bowl contenders, but yeah, they give the stick them. I just want to be funny because, I mean, that's the only issue. Because Nick Sirianni, for the most part, this season has stayed out of his own way, and the team has been better for it. So I'm okay with that. So until he messes up again, I will get off his case. But yeah, give the stick them. We did the Giants. Washington. The Giants, so we can, we can cut the Giants.
Washington.
Mm.
By the way, they already got a Christmas gift from Congress. They're getting a new stadium in D.C. So that's good.
And honestly, they might end up changing the name back, so we don't know yet. Which would be weird to think about. Usually when you have a name change, you don't change it back. But
I'll be honest, I like the Commanders. I like the logo. It just feels good. It feels like a new era of football. Feels good.
I think it's fair. I mean, I think I've gotten used to it. I still look at Washington and I'm like, I still sometimes have to catch myself because I'm like, I'm still just used to saying Washington Redskins. That's what I knew them as our whole lives.
Yeah.
So, I just feel like it's okay. I feel like, especially because you talk about the whole, the Native American community, they don't mind it. They even come out and said that. So yeah. I guess, but we'll see what happens with that. But with the Commanders, I think if I had to give them a gift, you know what? Better run defense.
Oh, that's a good one. I will give them a sewage supplier for their new stadium. No more sewage.
Pipes. Fix that shitty pipe.
Yeah, yeah. Bro. If the new stadium in DC has shitty pipes, we're gonna have some problems.
I'm not gonna lie. We talk about how bad MetLife Stadium is. That place is like second, and so it's so my division league has two of the worst stadiums in the NFL.
Well, look. Thank God Congress said yes to that new stadium because I bet you it's gonna be beautiful. But if they can't get the sewage right, we're gonna have problems. Dallas.
Oh yeah.
Dallas, I would like to gift you a 25-year-old Jerry Jones.
Oh my God.
Let's revert his age back like 40 years.
Yeah. Like Benjamin Button. Yeah. I'm gonna gift Jerry Jones a plane ticket. Also, I'm going to blackmail him into selling the Cowboys.
To be realistic, I am gifting Jerry Jones a hot tub that can fit 300 people. Done.
I mean, that's fair. I think I'm also, I mean, honestly, if I can give a specific player on that team a gift, I am gifting CeeDee Lamb the ability to seek a trade.
Yes.
Or to seek a release from his anything.
Yeah, just
because just get him out of there. He doesn't deserve this. He does not deserve this.
No. Neither does Micah Parsons. Both of them can seek releases if they want to. I know Micah wants to stay there, but whatever.
You know, Mike is also annoying. So CD is not.
CD just stays quiet and plays good football. Detroit Lions, I would like to give you better fourth down percentage.
I would. No, yeah. Honestly, oh boy. I mean, we can't say better defense because it's just injuries. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Or I don't know. I would, yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's probably, or you know what? Just, I would like to gift Dan Campbell I would like to not even like gifting him. It's like I would like to gift him a restriction on how many times he can go for it on fourth down in a game.
Oh my God. Because that's funny.
Because it's like how many times, like, you know how there's a, you only get two challenges? It's like, okay. If you only get two challenges, Dan Campbell only gets two times. Pitch, use him wisely, Dan. Use him wisely.
two times going on a fourth down. Minnesota, you know what, Minnesota? I would like to give you a 2024 NFL draft redo. You sign Sam Darnold to a long-term extension. You don't bring in JJ McCarthy. You get another piece and Dallas Turner for that defense. There you go. I would like to give them a 2024 draft redo. Get another first rounder to help that team versus JJ McCarthy just sitting on the bench.
Yeah. Ah, man. I was going to say, because of my fantasy team, I want to gift Jordan Addison the ability to be more consistent.
That's honestly pretty good.
Because that guy, like I said before, can go from dropping 3 1 week to dropping 30 the next. So he's so hot and cold, it's not even funny.
It was so bad. I wrote a piece for Studs and Duds about inconsistent performers. It was that bad.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I was like, Jesus. It's like in this week he went off. And the thing is, at least my fantasy team. Oh, that's another thing too. My fantasy team, for all the crap I've given it the last month or so, I am in the championship game. So,
I want to see.
I'll be playing for a title.
I want to see. I think I lost in my one league that, yeah, I did. I lost by like 30 because Josh Jacobs didn't play that whole second half. So I got kind of screwed there. Bro, look at this lineup. I was leading in the first week, and in the second week, here was my lineup. Kyler Murray, Chase Brown, Josh Jacobs, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka, McBride, who didn't get a touchdown like Kyler promised. I started Patrick Taylor, the running back for the Niners. He didn't do anything. Packers D was good, and Jake Bates was good. Yikes. That was a tough week.
Yeah. I love how, yeah, my opponent, he just said GG's to me for next week. My one of my good friends, I'm like, bro, yeah. I'm like, your roster is fine. What are you talking about?
Wait, your conference championship opponent? Or no, your title opponent, you mean?
Yeah, my title game opponent, because he's got Hurts, Bijan, Kenneth Walker, AJ Brown, Cooper Kupp, Sam Laporta, Brian Thomas, JSN, Brandon Aubrey, and the Ravens D.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but mine is Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Chase Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Mike Evans, George Kittle, Bucky Irving, Ladd McConkey. I might bench him next week. I'm not sure. Chris Boswell and the Falcons D. Yeah. But we'll see. It depends on matchups next week, and then I'll adjust accordingly.
This is also a good recommendation for our rankings that are going to come out Christmas Day on SportsEthos.com through the NFL Fantasy Pass. So check that out. But yeah, look, that's going to be a competitive game. I don't know why he's saying GG's to you. That's a competitive matchup.
Yeah, unless it's reverse psychology.
Yeah, that's normally how I view it. We talked about the Packers. Any gifts you would like to gift Green Bay?
Oh my God. Man.
You know, damn, what? Man. I have a specific player I would like to gift them. It's gonna sound
that's interesting.
This is gonna sound kind of crazy. Adam Thielen should be a Green Bay Packer. I'm gonna gift them Adam Thielen. Think about how interesting he would be as a veteran on that team.
Especially as a good like wide receiver three. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some man
get older a little bit.
I'm really trying to think. If I had to gift if I had to gift them something, I mean, I don't know what they'd really would need, because I mean their defense is fine. Their offense is starting to really click as the season's gone on. Their coaching is fine. Like, they honestly don't have any massive holes. I mean, honestly, Jordan Love is healthy, but I still kind of want to give, I mean, it's kind of lame, but I kind of want to give Jordan Love just the gift of good health, because
and a new Toyota, because you got the Toyota sponsorship today.
Oh, I should have done that Toyota-thon. Damn it. I forgot about that.
Dude, it was all over social media that his agent literally got him a contract with Toyota today. Do you know how good that is?
God. So we're gonna get Jordan Love Toyota commercials.
Yes.
Oh Lord.
Hell yeah. Chicago Bears. Brandon would like to gift you his Eberflus list next week. Done.
Oh yeah.
All the coaches you shouldn't hire in the next hiring cycle. There you go.
We're gonna have fun with that.
Atlanta, I would like to gift them a portable Costco hot dog stand. And the gift of not being in the playoffs. I don't want to see them in the playoffs at all. Please, God.
I almost want to do the same thing with Atlanta that we've done with the Browns. Give them, kind of give them a way out of Kirk Cousins' contract. Because, yes. Man, is it awful.
So they spent that 5-year deal, and they're only going to use up 1 year of it and have like a ton of money in dead cap. Which means that Kirk Cousins can be the starter of an NFL team next year on the minimum contract. Some teams are going to want to do that. That's not a bad choice. Do the Russell Wilson thing. But, yeah, I like that. Tampa Bay, I would also like to give the gift of not being in the playoffs. Thank you.
Yeah, because like so many Tampa fans do that I've seen on social media, like, oh, no team wants to see us in the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, if you're at home in Tampa where you have home field advantage, but away from Tampa, you guys ain't winning nothing. Like, and the thing is, you're not going to be home because you're probably going to have to come to Philly or Detroit to play a game. Yeah. So
I would. Oh my God. I have the perfect gift that you should give the Buccaneers. I know you would like to give it an easy way for Mike Evans to hit 1,000 yards again.
Yes, yes, yes. Because nobody in football deserves it more than Mike Evans. Mike Evans, I've said it. I said it even before Shane even said it. And we've all said it on this show. He's not the most underrated player. He's the most underrated super, because he's a superstar wide receiver. He's the most underrated. I'm not even saying wide receiver. He's probably the most underrated superstar in the NFL.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Even though ESPN has said something similar kind of often this year, he's still underrated. Nobody talks about him nearly enough, and it's really frustrating.
It's really a damn shame, because Mike Evans, I want to see him in the next 2 weeks have the games of his life to get. I don't care if it takes 17 games. He was injured. It happens. You know, he'll still do it. You know, he's played how many games this year? He's played, what is this? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 9. He's played 12 games. So I want Mike Evans in 14 to get 1,000 yards.
And he's literally almost going to hit 1,000 yards in like, wow, Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. Hall of Famer, done. Book it.
Like, yeah, well, like, to, like,
we will be at that Hall of Fame ceremony. That's how much we love him.
Mike Evans was the one guy. I remember when Mike Evans was drafted, I was like, damn, I wanted that man to be an Eagle. I've wanted that man to be an Eagle my entire life. I mean, it sucks, I'll never get it. I really wanted him to be an Eagle when this past offseason, before he signed his last, basically the last deal of his career. And I was like, man, I could really see Mike Evans being like wide receiver 2 and moving Devontae Smith to the slot in Philly as a wide receiver 3. And I'm like, well, Devontae Smith's also a wide receiver 2. It should be a 1. But I'm like, I just want Mike Evans on the damn Eagles. Like, I want him forever. So.
I think every team would want Mike Evans. Also, by the way, here's the thing, too. Mike Evans, on top of all the statistics and everything, he's got a Super Bowl ring with Tom Brady. He should absolutely be in on that alone. So there you
go. Yes.
He's got a ring to his name. Very well deserved. Thank you. I'm glad he has a ring.
People keep saying, you know, without Tom Brady, you know, the Bucs don't win a ring. But without Mike Evans, who's been there since day one, without Mike Evans, you don't win a ring.
Absolutely not.
So Mike Evans deserves his flowers. God damn it! I don't know how many times we gotta say it, but it's so he needs 182 yards last two games, which is 91 yards a game. He can very well do that
with this because division, it's Mike Evans. Hell yeah, with this division, hell yeah. Saints.
Honestly, feed him the ball. Don't care. Feed him the ball.
Saints. I would like to gift you a way to not get pitched a shutout like you did today. Done. Or get shut out, I guess. Because, Jesus, the first shutout of the NFL was this week.
That's not a coaching drive we didn't bring up, I think.
No, we talked about New Orleans, I think.
Did we? I can't remember.
I hope we did. Because it literally just
happened. That's pretty simple for me. I'm giving them a new head coach. Just Because, my God.
I'm going to be real honest. With this roster and a new quarterback, this is a fun NFL coaching job. This really is. It's a fun team. Yeah. It's a fun team.
Oh my God, I
thought of a better gift. I would like to gift them a way to not be a negative cap next year, because I think they're going to be a negative 90 or something stupid, negative 84. I think the number is negative 84 million. I can check, but I think that's what it is. Yeah, they're negative cap again. So, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Carolina Panthers. If this was week 5, I would have set a new quarterback, but I actually want Bryce Young to be the future of this franchise. I like him. at this point.
I'm not quite sold on Bryce Young just yet. He's had a great second half to the season, but I need to see.
I'm not fully sold on it, but I'd rather see him start another year than them just cutting bait with him. That's kind of my point.
Give me. There was no reason. I don't know. I'm sure there's no reason for him to get benched, but I think about it. Yeah, I want to see one full season of him now that he's gotten some confidence under his kind of his belt and under, you know, in his head. I need to see a full season of Bryce Young. That's what I need.
So that's what we're doing. We're gifting him more confidence for 2025.
Yes. And isn't that crazy that we were talking about him being benched? And that feels like it's just yesterday, but that was like, what, 11 weeks ago?
It's crazy. Yeah.
No, more than that. It's like 12 weeks ago, something like that, 12, 13 weeks ago.
And I think it proves the point that not all young quarterbacks should start week one. I'm looking at you, 2025 NFL quarterback class. Most of these guys should not start week one. I'm being real.
I would even say none of them should. I don't care if it's Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. I don't think those guys. Cam Ward's nice, but I don't think he's, especially going to a bad team. No, you need to build that team first and then see what you have.
Yeah, I'd rather have leaving them the entire 2025 quarterback class. I'd rather see them barely touch the field next year, minus preseason. Yep. I think that's fair.
That's a problem that the team that a lot of these teams get into. That's what the Browns have been into for years. The Bears, they keep thinking, "Oh, the one quarterback that's gonna, the quarterback's gonna save us." But here's the problem: you draft the quarterback and you do nothing else.
Yeah. So what are we doing here? And by the way,
you're gonna lose either way.
Did we really think Justin Fields was the real problem with the Bears?
No.
Rams, I would like to gift you a playoff berth. I'd rather not see Seattle. I'm good. Rams, you get a playoff berth, guys. I think they will get the playoff berth. I'm just giving it to them right now.
They'll probably win the division.
Yeah, they probably should. They've been the best team in this division. I think it's fairly clear.
Yeah. And I mean they weren't even when Cooper Kupp and Nacua, you know, were out. They weren't winning games, but they were still hanging in there. They were hanging tough. We always kept seeing. We kind of kept saying, "Well, we everybody kept saying, oh, what's wrong with the Rams?" But we did say on the show, you know, wait till they get healthy and see what they got. And now it's there. So, you know, they're gonna win the division. They'll be fine. If I could give them something, I'd probably just gift them. I would give them a better secondary. Because their secondary gets burnt too much.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'd probably just give them a better secondary.
Probably same with Buffalo as well, thinking about it. You didn't say that for Buffalo, but I think that's up there with Buffalo too. Seattle.
Yeah, I was focusing on real gifts, but now we're getting philosophical gifts.
Yeah.
So
Seattle, I would like to gift Geno Smith 4-quarter specific LASIK glasses. Or just fourth quarter LASIK. How about that? God, I hate the fourth quarter interceptions. It's just awful. It's so bad.
Geno Smith is like the opposite of a closer. He's more of like an opener. He starts off the games like usually pretty well, and it just falls apart as the game goes on. It just gets worse.
It gets, I honestly don't think he's as bad as Jameis Winston, but in the fourth quarter, he's basically Jameis Winston. Like, that's kind of what I've come to, and that sounds really harsh because I think Geno's actually been, you know, fairly okay this year. But like that, just 40 passes on Sunday. I understand why they did 40. I get it because, you know, the Vikings run a 4-4. Shane is talking about this, you know, ad nauseum this year, and well deserved, because it's the important thing to understand. That defense is completely, you know, completely focused on the run, not the pass. But like 41 passes, 2 interceptions, 1 crucial at the end. Oh my God, I don't want to see that with Geno at all. I really don't.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's definitely fair.
And then our last one is the Arizona Cardinals. I would like to give Trey McBride a catching touchdown, please. For the love of God. And I'll be honest, like, people are complaining that it's like, oh my God, he can't see the end zone. Dude, it's not his fault. If you look at like the all of his games this year, he's been open in the end zone a lot. Kyler's just not getting it to him, dude.
Honestly, I would like to just gift Kyler Murray the ability. Like, I was joking with Tua the ability, like the gift of vision. It's like, nah, Kyler Murray needs it because Trey McBride's open. Throw him the damn ball.
He's open in the end zone. He's been open all year. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, get him the ball, especially in the red zone, because they don't do that. That's actually. I also wanted, like, because it wouldn't be. You know, I wouldn't be me if I didn't get the chance to dunk on Jonathan Gannon one more time now that their season's over.
He had a good year, He had a good year, though.
Yeah, David, the season's over. I don't care. Screw him. Listen, I applaud the fact that statistically we had the best defense in the NFL that year in terms of sacks and takeaways. But he was focused on a coaching job in the Super Bowl when he shouldn't have been.
Dude.
And he got completely destroyed.
I mean,
I don't care.
Yes, yeah, but also he had a really good year this year.
Yeah, I know, but I still don't care.
My apologies for sneezing on the podcast. That literally just came out. My sincere apologies, lol.
It's but yeah, but if I can give them something, just give them the ability to be more, give them just some motivation, because the guy is so dry. I don't understand how he actually got that team to play somewhat well for him, because he has no, like, he talks about, oh, you guys got that fire in your gut. It's like, well, do you, Jonathan? Because I don't hear it from you. So, you know, that's just being funny. But yeah, but if honestly, I kind of agree with you. Just can give Trey McBride a touchdown. Also, just, and you know what, too, because he deserves it in my eyes, and I voted for him because today was, you know, this happens every year, like right before Christmas. Today was basically double XP for Pro Bowl voting. So
you gave him a ton of votes?
I gave James Conner votes.
Yes.
I gave James Cook. He's got 1,500 yards.
He needs Pro Bowl votes. What are we doing?
And people don't realize it because he's on the Cardinals. But
and nobody outside of the West Coast gets to watch him, and it's a damn shame unless you watch Red Zone. Because
yeah, he's only lost one fumble this year. And the thing is, He's literally a dual threat. He has 1,500 yards combined. He has almost 1,100 yards rushing, 4.7 yards of carry, 8 TDs. He's got 410 yards receiving and a touchdown. He deserves to be in the damn. I mean, listen, we're talking about Pro Bowl, but he deserves to get a Pro Bowl nod. He definitely deserves it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we're going to have so much fun on Pro Bowl Sunday. That show is always so stupid and so fun. We just sit down, goof around, and watch the Pro Bowl. That's going to be, and with a bunch of these new events, it's going to be fun. You know, I'll give a specific player gift too. Can Brock Bowers win the Rookie of the Year? Like, why are we talking about Jaden Daniels so much? This, even Bo Nix, I'm like, bro, the guy is about to hit the most receptions for a rookie ever, I think, at the tight end position. Like, in the next couple of weeks, it's insane.
Well, you know why? You know why? Because Brock Bowers is not the sexy pick. Jaden Daniels is.
Yeah, but it's how about consistency over sexiness? Yeah, I think so. Would you like to gift the NFL front office a gift this year? Or Roger Goodell himself a gift? I would like to gift them the ability to pay their officials full time. Done.
I also want to give the officials a lump of damn coal because I hate the damn officials.
Officiating across America. Brandon Furtado gives them a lump of coal.
They're getting a stinky flaming bag of dog crap on all their front porches. So
that's Brandon's airing his festivus grievances to referees.
I've been doing it. I know it gets repetitive to hear it all year, but my God, man, like, can you blame us for really being that hard on them? They deserve it. Like, they do need to have a full time job, but they also need to be freaking better at their job. Like, there's no reason why a guy should be officiating 16 years in the league and still not know what the hell a pass interference is or a roughing the passer is.
Oh my
ridiculous.
God. Yeah. So anything else from anything else you need to give the NFL front office?
Oh my God. I mean, honestly, if there's anything I could probably gift Roger Goodell, I would gift him implement it, but just I would kind of try to help devise this whole initiative. Just give Roger Goodell a chance to implement a better just health and wellness program for the players.
Yes.
And not just that, but just, yeah, like you said, just better. I guess just better programs in general. The NFL doesn't do it. Like, we talk about player safety, and that's a big problem. And it's been getting worse every year.
We talked about how bad the concussions are earlier. Yep.
Like, yeah, honestly, at this point, like, concussions are, they're hard to kind of, you know, get over because it's football. It's a violent sport. You know, if you want to eliminate concussions, you're going to have to just play flag football, honestly, I think. But there's got to be a very, very effective way of at least eliminating it, or like cutting it in half at least, something.
Even though the NFL says it's already done that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because every week there's guys, like, I've never seen so many concussions. And even my grandfather had, my perfect example, yesterday in the Eagles game, when Jalen Hurts comes out, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's got a concussion, he's out for the game. My grandfather said, how many concussions is this in the league this year already?
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like, yeah.
It's really bad.
So, yeah, like, Tua has half of them alone. But, like,
Can I gift America $1 streaming services for NFL games?
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Exorbitant price. Dude, yeah. With the YouTube TV subscription going up by $10, you're paying. Oh, we're literally paying over. Well, not everybody, but pretty much everybody's paying like over $1,000 for NFL games this year. What the hell are we doing? Peacock, Netflix, Amazon, YouTube TV. What are we doing? So stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It's stupid. But it's really bad. $1 streaming services for all of America. Let's cut down these streaming services prices. It's like they promised at the beginning of this whole thing. But yeah. Are you ready for Christmas vacation? National Lampoon Christmas vacation.
And the best part about doing Christmas vacation today is because I worked tonight, but I only have one day of work this week on Thursday, but I'm off on Friday, and I'm off obviously tomorrow and Christmas because of Christmas. So I get to have a little bit of a break to myself the next couple days. So, you know,
By the way, you mentioned Chelsea Fulham for Boxing Day schedule for the Premier League. We need to see Man City lose to Everton beforehand. Have you seen how bad Man City's been? They've lost in like last 10 games.
Am I gonna be up that early? Like,
here's the thing. I might have to pull an all nighter on Christmas because I have family over, and then I'm gonna watch Man City, and I want to watch Chelsea, and I want to watch Liverpool and stuff. Boxing. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Boxing Day, dude, we got some great sports over the next 10 to 12 days, even outside of the NFL. It's awesome.
The best time of year in sports is from Thanksgiving to New Year's.
Oh, Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's. Exactly. Exactly right, Brandon. Best time in sports, 100%. 100%.
Hockey kicks into gear. The only thing that doesn't come up is baseball, but hockey kicks into gear. Soccer's in full swing. Basketball is in full swing. Football, you get towards the playoff time. It's there's nothing better than the thing is you get college football too and college sport, college basketball. So you get all these, and there's probably even more that I'm forgetting right now, but you get all these sports. So the thing is, every day from Sunday to Saturday, there is literally sports every single day.
There's literally a ton to watch. It's great. It's awesome. Yeah. So you get some time off to enjoy it too. That's awesome, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. I'm sorry to interrupt, but dude, like these sports are awesome. Let's go on to National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. This is one I knew you were excited for all year. Funniest movie all year. Shane gave it. Here's what Shane's review was. Let's see. I know that he sent it to me privately, so I can say it. He said, "Christmas Vacation is the funniest Christmas movie that's ever existed. B+." I agree. It's so good. Go ahead on that.
I told you guys, especially when Shane suggested it, and I lost my mind that he suggested it, because this is a movie I watch every year. I've been watching it every year for the past 2 or 3 years, basically since COVID, since the end of COVID. I always knew about it growing up, but I never fully watched it, even though it was always on TV. You know, my grandparents always talked about it, but I always saw like clips from it. I never saw like the whole thing. And then when I watched the whole thing for the first time a few years ago, I fell in love with it. I was like, this is the funniest damn Christmas movie I've ever seen in my life. And I still stand by that. And the thing is, the jokes still hold up. They're still they're still very funny.
Isn't that the best part about this movie though? Cause what year did this movie come out? Like 89. Dude, and the jokes are still fantastic.
Yeah.
2024, it's, like, it's amazing.
Yeah, literally 35 years later, and these jokes are still funny. You know, like I said, my favorite scene is him talking to the hot girl behind the counter, and he can't stop making boob jokes, looking at her.
And Chevy Chase is the best actor ever, I think, in one very specific category, which is eye movement. His eyes are so expressive. It's amazing.
Yeah, Chevy Chase has always been like that. Chevy Chase, because, I mean, this is a guy that came from Saturday Night Live. Chevy Chase literally made his name, just like a lot of the early Saturday Night Live cast members, off of being just super funny in different ways. Because certain cast members of Saturday Night Live, we're better at physical humor. Certain ones, because nowadays it's like all the cast members kind of have to do a little bit of everything. But what made Saturday Night Live special in the beginning was that certain members had certain characteristics that made them perfect for different sketches than others. Chevy Chase was good at eye movement and just like expressiveness. Dan Aykroyd was more like deadpan, but still very funny. Belushi was very much like just the energy of Saturday Night Live. His humor came more out of just his bombastic energy. So it's just, you know, everybody, you know, there's more guys I'm forgetting, but Chevy Chase is that's one thing about this movie though, is that he's still, you know, he's just everything that he did, especially in the 70s and 80s, everything he touched turned to gold. Everything was so funny. It's also why I talk about the show Community a lot, because Community is, he's on it, and he's in there for the first 4 seasons as a full-time cast member. And there's 6 seasons in total. So, you know, he's there for a lot of it. The thing is, he is extremely, it's funny, he didn't even want to be there. He's known for being hard to work with, but he is extremely funny because he still commits to it because he's a professional. So, but in this movie, I mean, there's so many jokes. Like I said, the one with the girl behind the counter, he's like, oh, it's a bit nipply out. I mean, nippy.
for me, it's the one where, so first let's quickly, before we talk about a lot of the jokes, let's go. This cast is stunning. Doris Roberts, who many know from Everyone Loves Raymond. I was like, oh my god, Everyone Loves Raymond alum. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, of course, from Seinfeld, and now upcoming with Thunderbolts as well, and Veep, of course. And then the big one, which I'm going to let you go on, we got a Big Bang Theory alum with a very prominent role in this film.
Mm-hmm, because Johnny Galecki, who many know as Leonard from The Big Bang Theory, I didn't know it was him the first time I saw him because he's so young in this movie. Because he plays Russ. He plays...
Shocked me.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't know it at first because I was just scrolling through one day. I think it might have been a year ago when I looked at the cast and I was like, you know, that's... Because I know each vacation movie, because there's five of them in the series, four main ones with Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo, but, you know, Johnny Galecki plays, you know, Russell plays, you know, or nicknamed Rusty, but also Chevy Chase calls him Russ, obviously because Russell. So he's very funny in this movie, especially for such a young actor at the time. He's the voice of reason for all the Griswolds. He's also the one with the most common sense. So
it makes sense for his character in The Big Bang Theory. It all connects.
Yeah, and it all tracks, which is funny. But you know, so he was perfect even from a young age, you know, for a role like that, because that's kind of just who he's been. You know, a lot of people also know him not just from Big Bang Theory, but if you're a little bit older, you know him from the show Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
Which was huge. You know, back when it was on. But you know, oh no, was it Roseanne? Was it Roseanne? I might have the wrong name. I just remembered. It's not Roseanne. It's another one. It is Roseanne. My bad. So you know, he had a very, you know, prominent recurring role. So he's very funny in this. Obviously, like we said, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, was it Brian Doyle Murray? So Bill Murray's brother.
What? No way. What?
Yeah, wow. He plays the boss. He plays Clark's boss.
No, oh, the one who gets kidnapped at the end. Well, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
My MVP for this movie goes to Randy Quaid as Cousin Eddie. Cousin Eddie, when he comes in and basically blows up the fucking entire house with the sewage. Oh my lord, bro.
Sorry, Clark, she was full. So it's so funny when you know Chevy Chase, when his character of Clark is hugging all the members and he finally gets the tree to light up. It's like he's hugging all of them, thanking all of them, and he gets to the end and he's like, he starts hugging Cousin Eddie. And he's like, Eddie? He's like,
Eddie, why are you here?
why are you? What are you doing here? So
Snot's the dog. The cat, I'm just gonna go through so many jokes now. When the cat dies,
gets electrocuted
because
he gets fried.
Seriously, at any family dinner, right? Like especially Christmas or Thanksgiving, pay attention to your pets and what they're doing. Yeah. You can't just leave it alone.
Yeah, I never lose track of where my dogs are. During a family, and nobody does really at our table. It's like you do it for like a split second, but the thing is, you know, you still kind of know, you know, the vicinity of where they're at. You can kind of, that's why you put bells on your animals so you know where they're at. But yeah,
not that they get electrocuted to death by a damn Christmas tree.
It's funny because the Christmas tree is such a central part of the movie, because it's multiple jokes are made about it. Like, you know, what the hell is it? He's like, I give to you the Griswold family Christmas tree, and he cuts the damn rope open, and then the tree explodes and breaks the window in the house. It's like, yeah, tree's pretty full, a lot of sap.
And then the next joke is them in bed. He's trying to get the sap out of his hand. And then, when they go grab it, it's the funniest because when they're in the car driving to get the tree, you're already in for just this. You know immediately, you're just like, man, I don't even need weed for this. Not that any of us on this show do any of that, which we don't. That's why we use it as a joke for Pocket Geek's Game of the Week. It's partially because we don't have any pot in any of our vicinities. But it's like, it's one of those movies that, but it makes you feel like you are because of the jokes. In particular, the one with the car, because they're underneath like this gigantic truck. And then they fly over it. And the green screen, even for the time, is pretty good. Like, you know it's green screen. But I think the green screen adds to the humor, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Like, I every time I watch it, I almost forget that it is green screen. It's like, it's just, you know, yeah. I mean, hell, they even make, even as they're caroling in the very first part of the movie, and they do, you know, he's like, take it away, Russ, and says nothing. Like, all right, fa la 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 la. Like, yeah. even there, just a good little funny kind of quick joke, just a good timing, comedic timing joke. That's funny. You know, what the hell was it? When they're under the truck, and Ellen, which is, you know, obviously Clark's wife, Beverly D'Angelo, she says, he's like, what's that thing I said that they usually say, like the prayer they usually say, like,
thou art God who art in heaven or something crazy. Please save my father. Please save my husband for being a dumbass. Pretty much.
Yeah, brain knows not what he does. I was like, that's a good way of spinning that joke.
Oh, Jesus.
That's how it is. Like, that's just the first scene already has like 3-4 jokes in it in like 2 seconds.
Speaking of weed and other unnamed substances, seems like Santa's on a ton of substances in the animated beginning. I literally texted you guys, and I was like, is Santa on crack? What is this opener? Like, they intentionally did.
Yeah, Christmas Vacation from start to finish is the jokes. There's a ton of jokes. You're never going to stop really laughing at it. You know, like, the funniest thing, I remember when I first watched it, I paused it a few times because I was kind of laughing at just the jokes where they caught me off guard when it's like, you know, when his boss finally walks away and he's like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, kiss my ass, kiss his ass, kiss your ass, Happy Hanukkah. I was like,
that's what everybody who works a 9-to-5 job thinks of their bosses.
Yeah.
So good. The Christmas lights is this fantastic bit about just like about how to light your Christmas lights. That's it, because it's like people keep turning it off and on, and it's just funny. A funny NFL bit. Continue here before we get to the NFL. There isn't literally an NFL bit in this, but continue.
Well, yeah, and I know what you're gonna bring up, but it's also just, I mean, like this, like, the thing is, we've only touched on the jokes. Like, there's so much about this movie that's just so funny. Like it's just like the. It's also from a different time period. It was like the jokes, because they hit different too. Like, a lot of these jokes, the thing is, a lot of these jokes are not like bad jokes that you can't say nowadays. Like, but they're still, even for their, like, at the time, they were very, like, you know, like, oh my God kind of jokes, but, you know, but still very funny. Whereas, like, you can still say these jokes today. And the thing is, it wouldn't be as funny, but it's like back then it was more, you got to realize it was more kind of like the shock value was bigger. The shock factor was bigger. Back then with this, but the thing is, not even shocking as in bad, just shocking as in like over the top funny. Like, it's still very funny, but eventually it'll dull out. But it's, listen, if you want a great Christmas movie, and I mean, this is why people always say that I think it's the best ever, but I have a list of like my top five, and I have one that's also very, very underrated in itself.
You know what's funny? Like, last year we did The Grinch, And I got a lot of laughs on it because I just think it's a bad movie, but I still enjoyed it for how bad it is. This movie is good while also being funny, which I think I really appreciated, because that's like, this movie is genuinely a very good movie on its own right.
Yeah. And it is, you know, then that's why it has stood the test of time. It's been for 35 years. It's been it was an instant classic when it came out. It did numbers at the box office, for God's sake. Like, it was an instant classic the second it came out. Because Christmas movies back then, they made money, but not the kind of money that this one did at the time. And this was right before Home Alone, and Home Alone smashed records. But this was right before Home Alone.
And that's something that we were thinking about, too, thinking about Home Alone and being right before. This movie really led the trend for what Christmas movies are even today.
Mm-hmm. They really did. People don't realize, you know, this one set the standard for Home Alone, the Santa Claus, Elf,
a Christmas Story, like, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas Story came before this.
Oh, but, really? So it's like both of those are kind of together, like the standard. I would say. Yeah.
A Christmas Story is actually 6 years before this.
Wow, yeah, both of those set a standard then. We got to make sure we had those in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL piece of this, which is actually really funny now, but you have to also consider at the time, he wears a Bears hat for a lot of this movie. There's Bears apparel everywhere. Obviously, the Bears were very, very good at this time. So it's very fun. Obviously, 85 Bears came, you know, we talk about the 85 Bears all the time. It's a genuine classic NFL team and best defense of all time and all these different things. But it's actually a really unintentional funny joke for NFL fans that there's just Bears apparel everywhere. Because I couldn't stop thinking, oh, there's Matt Eberflus. Oh, there's Matt Eberflus. Like, it's genuinely really funny thinking about, again, how bad the Bears are now.
Yeah, but at that time, too, I was going to think about it, too. That was... it's surprising that I don't remember there being any Chicago Bulls merch or in there, but I do remember
a Blackhawks jersey too.
Russ wears a Blackhawks jersey, but I mean, this is around the time where Chicago was jumping. They just come off of a Super Bowl not that long ago. A couple years before that, Michael Jordan was entering his prime, or in his prime as a Bull. So it was a good time to live in Chicago at this time. So
being a sports fan back then for Chicago was more fun than it is now. Let's just put it like that.
And also, it was also a movie. It's like, yeah, they're based around Chicago, but Chicago is also, and their suburbs are a very wide area. But the thing is, I like it because the best Christmas movies, like, people would say, like, oh, New York City, like with Elf, or what was it, like, Miracle on, was it 42nd or 34th, whatever the 30, movie is, like,
30, Miracle on 34th Street, which is based on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day, based on the Macy's Christmas Parade, actually, at the time, in New York as well.
It's like, yeah, New York City is a classic backdrop, but I feel like it's those Midwestern movies. So, like, Chicago, you know, like, any place that kind of takes place out that way, even though it's around a big city, like, these are the suburbs of Chicago. So, with the suburbs, you get that small, like, cozy feel that plays really well to a Christmas kind of movie.
And I'll put it a step further, too. It adds to the family aspect of the movie when you have, like, suburbs of Chicago. That's family right there. You know what I mean? So for these guys, right? So especially if you live in Chicago, I'm sure you can attest to it. It's a family atmosphere in those suburbs.
Yeah. And I believe, I mean, even A Christmas Story, I believe that also takes place in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yes, I believe so.
If I'm not mistaken, because Ralphie does... What is it? Ralphie does, I think, make a joke about Lake Michigan, and Lake Michigan is obviously the Great Lakes, so that's in over that way.
And it takes place in Hallman, Indiana.
Oh, okay. So yeah, well, yeah, that's still close, and that's still close enough. So you know, for close enough, it's Midwest. Yeah, like the Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, that Midwestern kind of area. So, you know, because big cities are great backdrops for movies. Don't get us wrong, but it's those small little towns, especially, you know, I am a suburb of a big city. You know, being in New Jersey, it's like we are New Jersey, but we are technically considered the suburbs of New York City.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
part of it for sure.
You know, we're crowded a little bit, but we are technically small towns, you know, small houses, kind of, you know, everybody's friendly neighbors, you know. So it's really cool when you have Christmas movies that are basically perfect, you know, backdrops, you know, like when they have perfect backdrops, like small town settings, especially in the Midwest. I like that a lot. And that's why I like it. That's why I keep coming back to A Christmas Story and to Christmas Vacation a lot, because those backdrops are really great. And also just it shows off, like, you know, in these movies, everybody, you know, especially in New York City, everybody's wearing a Yankee hat or a Knicks jersey or whatever it is, or a Rangers jersey. It's nice to see, you know, other kind of other teams get represented. Like, it's nice to see a Chicago Bears hat in a movie. And to, you know, and to kind of see, you know, that get represented well. So
yeah, to me, it's honest, really cool. To me, you know? Honestly, it's really cool, but it's just unintentionally funny. Based on how bad the Bears are now, it's so funny to me.
Yeah,
just another joke. Okay, yeah,
okay. It's funny because back then it was a power move. Like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, dominant football team. You know, you know, Chicago is a real big epicenter. You know, but
now it's horrible. Which
things can change.
Yeah, oh for sure. But I do think it adds to the humor, at least for me. When I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, the Bears are really good at this time. Oh wait, now they suck. Lol.
It's funny because it just
brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah, it's funny because Chicago didn't lose much though. They lost the Bears, but they gained the Bulls in return.
Yep.
So like right as the Bears were kind of skidding downhill, the Bulls took over, and Michael Jordan. So,
and then, you know, 2010s, we were growing up. The Blackhawks were a big deal and all that stuff. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. But what's your rating before anything else you would like to say about the movie before we end our Christmas special?
I don't think so. You know, I think we hit everything. I don't think we missed really anything to talk about. I think we kind of hit the nail on the head with everything that we did talk about. So
yeah, what's your rating of the film?
Yeah, that's what I was getting towards. I think that if I, you know, as a Christmas, because I think you have to take it as two things. It's a great movie, but you have to take it as a Christmas movie and a movie. As a movie, I like it more than, like, I gave Tenet like a 7. I mean, I like this more than Tenet, obviously, so I'm gonna give this movie probably an 8, but I think the Christmas movie, I give it a 9.5 out of 10. It's the, you know, because nothing's ever perfect. Like, I'm not going by the fact that it's, you know. You know, as a Christmas movie, it's like I'm going by like the technical aspects of it kind of a little bit. So it's like, yeah, but 9.5 out of 10. It's to me, it's the best Christmas movie ever made. I know people will say Christmas Story. I know people will say, you know, a bunch of different ones, you know, Miracle on 34th, all these different things. But this is the best Christmas movie ever made.
Some people would say Die Hard for some reason, which I hate. But whatever.
But see, that's a whole other debate because I do think Die Hard and the Die Hard franchise, they're Christmas movies because they all take place during Christmas.
I'll be honest, I've only heard about why it's a Christmas movie. I actually got to watch it at some point. But yeah. I will say that I'm in lockstep with you. I think it's important for us to talk about it as a Christmas movie as well as a regular movie, and I have the exact same rating for both, 8 and a 9.5. I think. This is my first time sitting down and watching this movie since I was like a very, very young, like very young, right? So watching it as an adult is such a different experience in terms of the humor aspects, in terms of the gags, in terms of the writing, in terms of even the filmmaking aspects that we talked about with how funny and hilarious the green screen usage is. It's just a great movie. I see where your joy comes from, Brandon, of like, yes, we're doing Christmas Vacation, and and the joy you have of seeing it as an adult, because I think it's just a much more whole experience, a much more full experience, as Chevy Chase would say in this film, with this film.
Yeah, and it definitely is, because when it comes to Christmas movies, especially like modern ones, like, you know, this one, like, listen, Elf is great, and I love Elf, I love Will Ferrell, but, you know, it's cheesy. It is a little bit cheesy. All Christmas movies are, but it's like, this Christmas movie still feels authentic. Like, it feels like, it really feels like Christmas. Like, Elf just feels like a Christmas comedy, but Christmas Vacation really does feel the atmosphere, but it feels like Christmas. So, you know, it's... I love it, because when I think of Christmas time, a lot of people will think Elf, or they'll dress up as Elf, you know, at Christmas parties, whatever. I, you know, our generation loves that movie, so do I. But I don't think of Elf right away. I think of The Grinch. I think of Christmas Vacation. I think of A Christmas Story before I think of Elf. You know, it's just, to me, those are more, I mean, it's blasphemy among our generation, but to me, those are just a lot more classic than Elf.
Yeah, I think it's just, again, it's sign of the times, it's the generation. Like, this movie came out in 89, but, like, it's a really fantastic Christmas movie. It really is. It's such a joy.
People, you know, this is why a lot of people, I don't know if it got put in the, and I don't think it did. It should have, because Christmas Story got put in the National Library, the Register, you know, National Library, like a Congress. Yeah. This one didn't. I wish it would, because that's how good it really is.
I will be honest. But, I'm having some problems with the National Library of Congress. Why the hell is Spy Kids in there? Spy Kids got in it this year. What?
No way. It's in there?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Spy Kids was the main movie that got put in this year.
Are you kidding me? Why is it 2020? Oh my god, you saw it. Why? Oh my god, why?
Spy Kids.
Are really? Why? 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 Why?
Because what cultural significance did Spy Kids ever have in our lives?
That makes no sense. It makes no sense. Well, the memes that came from it, I guess, but memes are just memes. Doesn't mean it's culturally relevant. Oh, God. That's awful.
That movie's terrible.
I can't. I cannot.
All right. Let's see what else is here. National Library of Congress. Let's see. Star Trek 2, Dirty Dancing, which should have already been in there. Beverly Hills Cop, Spy Kids, Mi Familia, Uptown Saturday Night, Up in Smoke, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Social Network. Along with Spy Kids. No Country for Old Men also got put in it this year, which we did see over the past couple of years as well on this show. So, yeah, but Spy Kids, bro.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there are some movies in there. I think if you dig deep enough, there's some movies in there. I'm like, that, no, that should not be in there. Yeah. But okay.
Yeah, like Social Network and No Country for Old Men should absolutely be part of the list. Like, they are culturally one of the most important films made of the last 20 years. But Spy Kids, bruh, come on. But anything else you'd like to add before we finish up?
No, I think we hit everything, and I think if we keep talking, we're gonna go over like the two hour mark. And I think we've basically hit everything we've needed to today. I mean, unless we usually forget something after we get off, but we always cover it in the next show. So
yeah
I think we've hit everything.
We will see you on Sunday with a full slate of games. Your Eagles got moved up, honestly, thankfully, for Packers Vikings like on Fox. I'm like, thank God.
Good. Get the damn division. Get the division title over with. And now watch, because I put that in the universe, the Eagles are going to lose because they're going to start like Kenny Pickett, and I'm going to have a mental breakdown somehow.
I'm just really glad I'm just really glad they're even focusing on moving the actual Sunday early and afternoon slates around. Because it's nice. It's nice to have better games in the afternoon and have the good games in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's 100%. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for Red Zone. It's a good thing for fans in general to watch on Fox and CBS. But, yeah. Also, if you haven't seen that NFL on CBS thing where they get the Gen Z intern to help them promote the NFL playoffs, it's one of the best things you'll ever see this year in the NFL. So go check that out on there. It's so funny. It's like Jim Nance, like, I'm weak, Tony. I'm weak. I'm like, bruh, it's too good. But yeah, for us, we'll see you back on Sunday night after Falcons and what is it? Falcons Commanders on Sunday night. I'm really excited for that matchup. That's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. We'll see you after then.
Yeah.
But Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you to everyone listening, to our Sports Ethos staff, to you, Brandon, to Will, to Shane, to Adam, to our whole crew. We're excited to get back on Wednesday and get going for the new year too.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think we're going to have a fun end of this season. We're going to have a lot of fun come playoff time. We still got a couple weeks, but really, really this upcoming week's the last full week of the season because people rest starters in week 18. So let's make the last, full week a good one. And Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a good one.
Yep, definitely. Merry Christmas. See you all.